This morning we continue with our study, Jerusalem Part 2. We covered Jerusalem Part 1 last week. Let us turn to Psalm 87, 2 and 3. Let us read it. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. Zion, the gates of Zion, would refer, of course, to Jerusalem. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. You will remember the gates of Zion were much reported in the repair of the walls of Jerusalem by Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 3. God loved Jerusalem. It did not mean that he did not love the other cities. God loved Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. God loved Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. God loved the various cities. But God loved Jerusalem more than ever. More than ever, the cities dwelt by the people of Israel or Judah. Because God had plans for Jerusalem. Glorious things are spoken of thee. And these are the wonderful things that we need to consider reading the word of God for Jerusalem. Why the special love for Jerusalem? Because it is the city of God. It is God's city, and God loves it. And therefore, God would not allow this city to be disrupted or be destroyed by anybody else. So, as we consider Jerusalem in our study, second part, let us very quickly revise what we did last week. The past history of Jerusalem. You remember Jerusalem today is the city of the three important religions of the world: Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Now, Jerusalem will continue to be a city attracting the very attraction of various people internationally. And we shall see this as we go on in our study. What does Jerusalem mean? We are not sure what the word means, but from the root word, dual, it may suggest that it has reference to Jerusalem standing on two mountains. That will be Mount Moriah and Mount Ophel. Whatever it is, we know that Jerusalem was first referred to in a way in Genesis chapter 14, where Abraham met Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Salem would be short for Jerusalem. And that is confirmed for us in Hebrews chapter 7, where the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest, is referred to as from the order of Melchizedek, the king of Salem. The king of Shalom, peace. The word Jerusalem occurs many times in the scripture. In fact, we know, as I pointed out last week, Jerusalem occurs in the Old Testament over 600 times. And the word itself occurs over 80 times in the New Testament, making a total of over 700 times. And therefore, if there is any country, if there is any people who can claim heritage for Jerusalem, must be the Jews. No other nation, no other race could ever claim the rights, the heritage rights to Jerusalem. That is Jerusalem, the city of God. It is also known in the Bible as Zion. The word Zion is very common in the Psalms. In fact, it occurs 79 times in 79 verses. It is another name for Jerusalem. It is the city of David. When David conquered the city of the Jebusites, and the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah, came together to make him king, David made Jerusalem the capital of Israel, the combined two kingdoms, northern and south. And it was therefore known as the city of David. And of course, above everything else, God himself declares that Jerusalem is the city of God. And so we see that Jerusalem plays a very important part, not only in the past, and as we shall see in the present, and as we shall see still in the future. Jerusalem is going to play a very important role. Today, we are privileged to live in this generation to see what has been prophesied about Jerusalem coming to pass. Look at Jerusalem and you see how near your salvation, your redemption is with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God did not only choose Jerusalem, God chose his people. And we learned that last week, God in Deuteronomy chapter 7, 7 to 9 declared that I chose you, Israel, not because you are many, not because you are great, but you are few. And I chose you because I love you. That's all. Full stop. Period. I chose to love you. That's my privilege and my honor and my sovereignty. I love you. Full stop. Nobody can say anything about that. And because God has unilaterally said that, I love you and I will make you my people, God will keep it. Not only God has chosen Jews to be his people, but also God has chosen Jerusalem to be his people. And he declared very firmly in Deuteronomy again that when they cross over to the new promised land, then they must bring their offerings to the place where I shall choose. And later on, God made clear that the place that he would choose was none other than Jerusalem. At the same time, while God would keep this promise to Israel, to make sure to declare his love for them, that he would not leave them, he would bless them as he did in his covenant with Abraham, the Abraham covenant in Genesis chapter 12. That he would bless them, he would multiply them, those who curse them will be cursed, those who bless them will be blessed, and so on. And he would make them a great nation, he would give them a king. All these things God declared in his covenant, and he would not break. But that does not mean that the Abrahamic covenant does not bring about chastisement or curse upon Jerusalem when the people sin against God. Then we must make a known a difference. There's a difference between a covenant that God makes with his people and the disciplinary measures that he meets out when his people disobey. When the people disobey, God chastised them. God said, I will curse you, I will chastise you, I will punish you. But God never said that he would give them, he would discard them. In fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 11, has God discarded Israel? No, never. I myself am an Israelite. He will not discard Israel. He will not replace Israel. But he will punish Israel when Israel disobeys and when Israel sins. Just as in Hebrews chapter 12, God chastises those who are his sons. And so we see that in the history of Israel, in relation to God, God punished them when they disobeyed him. So that's about the past history of Jerusalem, which we covered last week. Today, we are going to discuss the present controversy concerning Jerusalem. In doing so, we shall discuss, firstly, prophecy of Jerusalem's past history fulfilled. Now, if you want to know anything that is true about the Bible and about God, and what can you give as evidence, the only evidence that I can give is the Jew, Israel. see what had been prophesied regarding Israel, how it was fulfilled, and how it is fulfilled, and how it will be fulfilled, then you will know that what the Bible says about the Jew must be true, and therefore the Bible is true. Concerning, therefore, this prophecy of Jerusalem, let's look at its past history. I'm going to take you now through the scriptures and discuss the various prophecies with regard to Israel, Jerusalem. Consider first Jeremiah's prophecy concerning Jerusalem being burnt down and inhabitants deported to Babylon. Jeremiah prophesied in about the 6th or 7th century BC. Alright, about Isaiah's time. Now in Jeremiah 25 verses 11 and 12, it reads, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 7 years. Not, this whole land refers to Jerusalem. It shall be desolate, desert, no occupation by anybody. And it will be shocking, of course. These nations shall serve the king of Babylon. And the one responsible for this state and condition will be the king of Babylon, whom God will anoint and bring to conquer Israel and deport them into his own land, Babylon. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolation." After that, God will punish Babylon. Habakkuk asks, "God, why do you send a pagan nation like Babylon to come and punish us who are righteous before you?" God says, "You need to be disciplined. I will discipline you. And I will even take a pagan nation to come and discipline you. But after that, don't ever think to yourself that the pagan nation will escape. I will punish them for their iniquity." And today, we find that Babylon had been punished. And although Saddam Hussein wanted to raise up Babylon again, he failed. God has kept his word. The prophecy has been kept. And note please, God says, Babylon will take Israel out for 70 years. Okay, that's another second part. Jerusalem land to be liberated after 70 years. God gave a period, 70 years, not more, not less. Israel will be taken out of the land so that the land could have its rest for 70 years. Why? "And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia." Note please the prophecy. It says that king of Babylon will take them away for 70 years. At the end of 70 years, another king will be raised, the king of Persia, Cyrus. And he would conquer Babylon, and then he would allow the people of Egypt, of Israel, to return to Israel, to occupy Jerusalem again, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed the Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 70 years. Why 70? Why specifically 70? Not 69, not 68, not 67? Because God had said, this is not a punishment of you only, because you have not kept the command with regard to the land. God had said in Leviticus chapter 25 that the land must have a rest every 7 years, the Sabbath of the land. Every 7th year, you must give the land a rest. Every 6th, on the 1st to 6th years, I will give you harvest in plenty, so that you will have enough to cover the 7th year. But there's another thing again. Not only the Sabbath of rest for the land every 7 years, but the Jubilee of rest every 50th year. On the 50th year, after 7 sevenths, 49, 50th, you will again give the land a rest. So that the 50th year, the land will have double rest. The Sabbath rest, as well as the Jubilee rest. And I will bless you on the 48th year with 3 years of harvest. Good harvest. So that 49th year, you don't work anymore. 50th year, again, Sabbath for the land. 51st year you start planting, you have nothing to eat. I'll give you harvest for 3 years. God said that in Hebrews chapter, in Leviticus chapter 25. Did they obey? No. They did not obey. First year, they did not obey. First Sabbath, no, they did not obey. And 490 years, 70 Sabbaths, 490 years, they never obeyed. And they thought they could, after the first year, after the first Sabbath, after the second Sabbath, they could escape. Oh, look, we don't keep the Sabbath. We don't give Sabbath to the land. It's okay. God will not punish us. God kept quiet. And they went on sinning. They did not give the Sabbath, the land the Sabbath. And when it came to time, God had planned. God accumulated all these and took them out of the land for 70 years because they did not give the land 70 years. And now you know why 70. It was fulfilled literally. Thirdly, consider another prophecy. All these prophecies have been fulfilled literally. And if these prophecies have been fulfilled literally, why not all the other prophecies in the future be fulfilled literally as well? Take the vision that Daniel saw regard to his 70 weeks. Daniel 9, 25. Now, in Daniel 9, verses 25 onwards, Daniel saw a vision of 70 weeks. Actually, it's not weeks, but it is 77s. It says in that vision, from the time when the decree to restore Jerusalem to the time when the Messiah will be cut off would be a period of 69 weeks. 69 times 7, 493. 493. Now, if you take the 69 weeks, according to days, nothing happened. You take according to weeks, nothing happened. According to months, nothing happened. But you take according to years, and not our 365 years, but the biblical 360 years per days per year, then Bible scholars have calculated that that for 493 years would end exactly at the time when Messiah was cut off, and that will be March 30, AD 33, when Jesus marched into Jerusalem, fulfilled to the day. You can read that in the coming weeks. Alright. Now, that will be alright. That was fulfilled. Because Jesus was cut off on the day when he was crucified on the cross at Calvary. Then, according to the vision, there will be one more week. And he shall confirm the covenant, that's the 70th week, with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, immediately after the 69th week, the 7th week, nothing of this ever happened. Nothing. So, there must be a suspension of this week. And Bible scholars believe that this suspension is in the future. And in the meantime, you have the parenthesis of the church age, where we are today. We are here now. And we are here until the time comes when Christ will come, will take the church up to heaven, and then God will deal with Israel again after the church has been raptured up, and this will call the 70th week. In the midst of the 70th week, there will be great tribulation. The man, the coming prince, will make covenant with the Jews, and then will break it, and then he will establish himself as the Antichrist. This will be the Antichrist, the 666 prophesied in Revelation, and he will be in control. All these things are future. We have not seen yet. We can't see. The point now is this. All these things have been fulfilled to the very letter, literally, to the very day. These things also have been fulfilled and waiting for the time when the church will be lifted up to heaven. Then this week will continue. Do you believe it? Some people don't believe it because they don't see this as now. But God says it will be fulfilled. And my argument is, if all these have been fulfilled literally, why not this part of the prophecy? Okay, let's go on from here. We dealt with the prediction in Daniel's vision of 70 weeks. Again, 70, notice the number, very important. Those of you who are coming to 70 years, take care. Give the Lord that 70 years of yours. Jesus' threefold prophecy and fulfillment. Matthew 24, the Lord Jesus Christ was on the Mount of Olives. And he looked down from the Mount of Olives, he saw Jerusalem. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world?" Matthew 24 verse 3 records these questions. Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 record God, the Lord's answers to these three questions. And when you read Matthew 24 and 25, make sure you understand the context. Because if you don't, you apply the verses in chapters 24 and 25 to the church, then you get into a lot of problems. You must understand that chapter 24 and chapter 25 will apply to the Jews during the Great Tribulation. First, let's answer the question. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the Mount of Olives, looking down, this picture is not right. You will see the mosque, the dome of the rock. Before that, there was Herod's temple. And what Jesus saw from the Mount of Olives was Herod's temple, great, majestic, glorious and mighty. And Lord said, "You will see these things here? When there shall come a time when no rock, no stone will be upon another, because that temple will be completely destroyed." And then the disciples said, "When shall these things be?" That's the answer. Alright, that's the first part. When shall these things be? And of course, this came to pass in 70 AD when Jerusalem was razed to the ground. When I told you last week, when the Roman soldiers came along and then they overturned the rock, the stones, to find the gold that had melted among the stones, so that no stone was laid upon one another and everything was laid flat. And all because the Lord's prophecy was fulfilled 70 AD. Then the Lord went on to answer the second part. What shall be the sign of the coming? Matthew 24:15. When you see the sign of the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, flee. What does it mean? When you see Antichrist establishing his idolatry and his supremacy in the temple, then flee, because that is the abomination of desolation, because the time of the great tribulation will start in the middle of the week, the 3.5 years. And so we find that prophecy being made. That will be second week. And that's why after that, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, "Then there shall be great tribulation fall upon you as never before." Great tribulation. It's not the ordinary tribulation. We shall see that later on. And so there will be great tribulation as never happened before. And none of you would escape if the Lord never intervened. And the Lord will intervene when he will come to save them, to save the elect. Alright. We have dealt with the prophecy of Jerusalem's past history. What about the prophecy of Jerusalem's present history being fulfilled? Now, today we live in momentous times. If you live 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, you would take this Bible and you would say it's all nonsense, all not true. All the prophecies concerning the Jerusalem, nothing had come to pass. Look at the Jews. The Jews even did not have a state. 1,000 years back, you would never see such things. The Jews were not there. Jerusalem was not there. And yet they would say, "Glorious things are written about you." How can this Bible be true? There are only two things you can go on in your interpretation if you believe the Bible. One, you believe the Bible. But if the Bible says all these things about Jerusalem and there are no prospects of Jerusalem being fulfilled, the prophecies being fulfilled, how can it be true? So what you may do is you spiritualize all the prophecies and then even apply them to the church, that these prophecies are applicable to the church and not to Israel. But there were those who believed that the Bible is true word for word and prophecy for prophecy, and that one day it will come to pass. And those people who had this faith in the Bible, absolute faith in the Bible that it must be true, prophecies must come to pass, literally, they believe. And today we are in a generation where we can see with our own eyes these prophecies being fulfilled, one by one. This is the great privilege you and I have, as we see the prophecy being fulfilled, and therefore Christ's coming is very soon. The resurgence of Israel on the resurrection of dry bones. Ezekiel 37, God prophesied that. God told Ezekiel to go to a valley. And in the valley there were dry bones. Plenty of dry bones. And God said, can these dry bones live? Then God gave command to Ezekiel, prophesy among these dry bones. And these dry bones will come out alive. Flesh will come upon them, sinews will come upon them, and they will come alive again. And what was God trying to say through Ezekiel? These bones, and you can read it in verse 9 of Ezekiel 37, refers to Israel and to Judah, that one day they will come out alive again. They have been dead and dry all the years, but then there comes a time when they will start life again. And God says, I will put them back in the land. They were without land. God will put them back in the land. And that's the valley of the dry bones. A prophecy regarding the resurgence and restoration of Israel. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments, and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Can we accept this prophecy as literally true? I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all the countries. That day, previous years, God had scattered after 70 AD the Jews to all parts of the world. God says, I will gather you back. I will gather you back to the whole land, and I will establish you, and I will bless you. Now, let's look and compare to the other nations, the demise of all ancient civilizations. Egypt was with Israel. Where are they now? They are not as what they were before. Assyria, gone. Babylon, gone. Iraq tried to raise it up again to Saddam Hussein, gone. We have got the Roman Empire, also not there as a Roman Empire, world empire. All these ancient civilizations have gone, and yet Israel have maintained their existence to this very day. The durability of the Jews since Abraham. Abraham lived 2056 BC for 475 years and died in 1881. Now you will compare 1881 plus 2019, you get 3900 years. 3900 years the Jews had been in existence. The civilization had continued so that today the Jews spoke the same language as they spoke 3900 years ago. No other civilization could ever do that. That's the truth. They could maintain their language and their culture, although they had been separated to all the various nations of the world. They came back as a Jew. The Balfour Declaration gave them a start in 1917, as I explained last week, when a home in Palestine was established for them. But that was only the beginning. Then we find that there was the Declaration of Independence, to that little start became a declaration of the state in 1948, when Israel declared themselves to be a state and independent. God said, I will bring you back after having scattered them for crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ in 70 AD all over the world. I will bring you back. It shall come to pass in that day the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. Please note the very detail in the prophecy. I will set my hand upon you the second time, not the first time. Many people have applied this prophecy to the time when Israel was brought back from Babylon. No, that was the first time. This is the second time. Why it is different? Because it will be a regathering of Israel, called back from all the four corners of the world. The first one was only from Babylon. It could not refer to the first one. The second time, and you will come back from Assyria, east of Israel, from Egypt, the south of Israel, and from Pathros, upper Egypt, also the south, from Cush, Ethiopia, from south, from Elam, the previous name for Iran, from the east, and from Shinar, the Babylon, the east, and from Hamath, Syria, from the north, and from the islands of the sea, from the Mediterranean Sea, and all the west. All the Jews from all these places, north, south, east, west, will be gathered together the second time back to Israel. See in history the number of Jews that have returned to Israel since then, from all over the four corners of the world. You can read for yourself from the screen how these people have come back. He shall set up an ensign for nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is a different return of the Jews to their land, as distinct from the one in Babylon. Now, the independence of Israel was declared on 14 May 1948, when David Ben-Gurion declared the establishment of a Jewish state. 19 April 2018, that was a celebration of Independence Day. And last year, 12 May 2018, because of the annexation of Jerusalem under the Six-Day War, in the Six-Day War, Israel managed to get back Jerusalem from Jordan, and Jerusalem came under their land from 1948 to 218, 70 years. They therefore declared that day no more Independence Day, but Jerusalem Day. And from that day onwards, it will be a Jerusalem Day, because Jerusalem has now come under the control of Israel. Right. He shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, and make them into a nation again. 70 years. Israel captures and conquers the Gaza Strip and the Sinai Peninsula from Egypt, the West Bank. Alright, let me explain. This was before the Six-Day War. Israel was just a small little country here. After the Six-Day War, 6 days, Israel managed to conquer the whole of the Sinai Peninsula. Israel managed to control and conquer Gaza. The case last week. Israel managed to conquer the West Bank. And with the West Bank, Jerusalem was taken. And Israel managed to control the Golan Heights, Syria, and then the Golan Heights. And with this, Israel is now safe. From the north, from the east, from the south, and from the west. Israel now, comparatively, is now safe. If Israel had given up the Golan Heights to Syria, then Syria, from the Golan Heights, would be able to attack Israel very easily. But now, Israel would have a high cover over their head to prevent any attack from Syria or other countries. And you see now, Israel is a very safe place, comparatively. And Jerusalem is going to play a very important part in the West Bank in the days to come. Can all this be just by accident? Everything now is falling to place according to the scriptures. 70 years. When the Treaty of Balfour was declared, there were only about 650 people in Israel. Today, there are over 8 million people in Israel. And the number is increasing. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. As we see Zion, a people going back to Israel to form a nation, that's realized. A nation is going to be born, and the prophecies of Israel coming to be fulfilled very, very fast. The rose rising and blossoming, Isaiah 11:10-12, another important prophecy that is coming. The time is coming when the root of Jesse will spring up as a rose in the desert. Here's a prophecy. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and the rest shall be glorious. Now, Israel, before that time, before it became a nation, was given a piece of desert land, over 70% desert, to occupy. But today, that desert is blossoming as a rose, producing tremendous fruits and agriculture and also technology and so on. We shall go on as we go. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. All the years when that land was under Jordan, it was a desert and remained a desert. The moment Israel took over, that land had now become to blossom as the rose. Is this something for us to consider as ordinary? The rising of the root, the miracle of Israel, you can find that in a video. I do not have that video with me. You can go to the net and find out that video, how the Negev in the south of Israel had become a tremendous place of agricultural development today. It was a desert. But Israel reestablished the land, and it became now a very great agricultural land. Some more. What else will God restore to Israel? The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. God will make the desert bloom and restore the forest when he brings back Israel to the land. Now, this is the greatest proof. Today, Israel is one of the greatest agricultural countries in the world, producing the world's farming products and so on. Look at the list of illustrations. I took this from Wikipedia, from the net, all right? They were the first to introduce drip irrigation and an Israeli nursery. When we plant plants, we bring water to the plants and we water the plants. But they were the one to invent the idea of bringing water to the roots so that the roots directly get the water into the system. Rooftop solar hot water system. Today, over 90% in Israel had the solar system in their roofs. a laser projection keyboard using with tablet and so on. All right. The Iron Dome, very important, a rocket interception system. Over Israel, over Jerusalem, they have established an Iron Dome rocket interception, so that the people, Iran and other enemies, when they fire the rockets, they are intercepted before they can ever land in Jerusalem. And this is the greatest invention. There is a list of inventions and discoveries by Israel scientists and researchers working locally or overseas. Today, a lot of people use their inventions. According to Joel Landau, there are over 6,000 pioneering projects initiated by Israel. And you can find that again in the internet. Today, I'm using this technology. That's from Israel. You are using computer. That's from Israel. Israel today commands a lot of inventions in the world. But Malaysia does not want to go to get involved with Israel. No wonder Malaysia is backward. Singapore has direct relationship with Israel, and Singapore is progressing very fast. So, I don't think I have time to read President Netanyahu's pre-election speech. It's wonderful. I got a speech here with me, but I don't think I may have time. He gave this speech to the Jews to seek a re-election. And it's amazing how he listed out the achievements of Israel. Today, he is re-elected the longest prime minister in Israel. The fifth term now. And so Benjamin Netanyahu is now the president. And he believes that Israel will be flourishing. And he says, his last words. What about his last words? However, don't believe the media. They don't tell you that parties continue to take place. People continue to live. People keep coming out. People continue to see friends. Yes, our morale is low. So what? Only because we mourn our deaths while others rejoice in the blood shed. That is why we will win in the end. He never sleeps or will ever sleep. The Garden of Israel, Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's his trust. Now, while I'm telling about all these glorious things that will happen to Israel, Israel will go through a great time of trouble. There will be retaliation against Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling. The people in Jerusalem will tremble because they are under attack all the time. Jerusalem, prophesied in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3, will be a stumbling block and a burdensome stone to the nation. Can you ever imagine Jerusalem, a small village in the time of the prophecy, becoming a stumbling block for all the nations of the world today? It was just a village. And yet today, it becomes the very center of national interest all over the world. In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be in pieces. We shall be cut in pieces. So all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. They can never prevail because God is with his people Israel. The UNESCO resolution against Jerusalem may be a start to all these gathering of our nations against Jerusalem. Mahathir did not want Israel to come in. Never mind, doesn't matter. So, there will be a battle against Jerusalem in the last days. Now, these things have not come to pass. Will they come to pass? Yes, it will. Because all the past prophecies regarding Jerusalem have been fulfilled literally. Thus, I finish now. The prospective eschatology of Jerusalem is eschatology. Its future days. What lies in the future? I've got to go fast because of time. All right? One, Jerusalem will be in great tribulation. Jerusalem will enter the last week of Daniel's vision. That's 7 years. Especially the second half of the week when great tribulation will take place. As predicted by, and the great tribulation was predicted by Jesus. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. Some people put this aside and say, oh, it's just the tribulation endured by Christians when they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, the Lord Jesus said, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. It is not any normal tribulation. It is the great tribulation. Jeremiah said, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jacob will be saved. He will go through, but he will be saved. Zechariah said, all nations against Jerusalem to battle, they will be gathered together. You see this prospect now in our current development in the world today? Israel surrounded by Islamic nations, 22 of them, 640 times their size, 60 times in population, and yet Israel will stand up. Why? Because God is with them. Daniel said, a time of trouble such as never was. John gave us what would happen during the Great Tribulation, Revelation chapter 6 to 19, a description of the times during the Great Tribulation. Jerusalem will be there when Jesus Christ comes, visited by Zechariah. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and they shall look on me whom they have pierced. He will come to Jerusalem, and he will destroy all those who are against Jerusalem. Revelation 19, 11, 16, we see that Jesus Christ will come forth from heaven with the saints. We will be there, and we shall be in a company to help the Lord in the destruction of the nations, of the enemies against Jerusalem. Jerusalem in the millennium. The millennium refers to the 1,000-year period of peace where after Christ has come to establish his kingdom on earth. This kingdom is referred to by Zechariah. And it shall come to pass in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, the Dead Sea, and half of them toward the Hinder Sea, the Mediterranean Sea. The summer and winter it shall be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Today that's dry land, desert, around the Dead Sea region. But the Dead Sea will have fresh water coming down, living waters. And Mediterranean Sea will have fresh waters coming in. And so we find that the Lord will bless the land of Jerusalem in that day. Predicted by Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 60, 65, 17, 26. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. There shall be no more tents in one and infant of days, nor an old man that had not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years. No one will die at my age. I will live at 100 years old, and if I die at 100 years old, I shall be an infant only. I will live up to the times of the Old Testament days. Methuselah, 969 years old. If you die at 100, you are an infant only. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall be down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. They will all live in peace. Creation will be in peace again. Do you want to spiritualize all these things? I don't, because the prophecies have been fulfilled literally. I cannot spiritualize these prophecies. As predicted by Ezekiel, afterward he brought me to the temple. A temple will be built. Today there's no temple. Jerusalem, since the time Jerusalem, the Herod temple had been raised to the ground, 70 AD, Jerusalem had no temple. But the Jews now are preparing a temple. They are preparing a temple. A temple will be built, because a temple will be the place where Antichrist will come to establish his abomination of desolation. The temple will be built. And we find, really, the Israelites had already built a temple structure under the Temple Mount. And so we find things are going on. The time is very near. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come into his temple. even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Then shall the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant. And we are told that the Jews today, the priests, Orthodox priests, have prepared the priestly rituals and needs, so that if tomorrow the temple is established and the ceremonies be established, they are ready. They are ready for that day, for the temple ceremonies. As predicted by John, Revelation chapter 20, they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years of peace on earth. That will be the time. Okay, so lastly, I finish now. Jerusalem at the conclusion of the millennium. Satan will be discharged after the millennium from prison, 1,000 years. And he will gather the people together and he will deceive them. And they will follow him. And there will be a rebellion. And there will be the siege and deliverance of Jerusalem. In chapter 20 and verse 9 of Revelation, they compass the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, Jerusalem. The enemies of Satan. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Strange thing. That after 1,000 years, Satan, being in prison, was released. He could gather together, he could go out to the world and gather people, thousands of them, multitudes of them, to be under him and to rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. It's not surprising. Today we have it. Today we have people who still believe in a corrupt government and who will come behind the corrupt government to elect their candidate and so on. Don't be surprised if we have it in our circumstance at this time, we can have it at that time, when people will still bow down to corrupt people. Satan doomed and punished eternally in the lake of fire, chapter 20, verse 1. And he will be there for 1,000 years, lake of fire for good. He will be there for good, forever. That's the lake of fire. And you will note that chapter 19, verse 20, you find that the false prophet and the Antichrist were thrown into the bottomless pit 1,000 years before. They are still there. See, where the beast and the false prophet are, they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And all those after judgment at the great white throne will be thrown in among them to suffer in hell forever and ever. I finish. Jesus and Jerusalem. Jesus was prophesied to be born in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among Judah, yet out of thee shall come out unto me that it is to be ruler in Israel. Wise men from the east searched for the child in Jerusalem. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, they came and they asked, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Jesus was to be crucified in Jerusalem. Mark 10:33. Behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests. Jesus would return to earth via Jerusalem, and in the day his feet would stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And so, last one, Revelation 21:2, Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem, will come down from heaven. And the new Jerusalem, which is called the Holy City, described as the city of my God, and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. This is Jerusalem. We are marching to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable company of angels. The angels will be there. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, the church will be there, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of there, the just men and prophet and perfect. The Old Testament prophets will be there. The Old Testament people will be there. They will not be in the church, but they will be there, all in heavenly Jerusalem. What a glorious day it will be. Hallelujah. That we are going to heaven. Amen. I hope all of you can say that. And looking forward to the time when Christ will come and say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.